This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Ahoy there! Welcome to Tangerst. Martin's not here. It's just me, Craig Children. I'm feeling a bit sheepish, actually, about the situation. Martin's basically, as regular listeners will know, had a bit of a problem with a project that he's got. It's a very important project. He's having some gates made for the end of his drive. Ironwork gates, beautiful things. Family crest in the middle. You know, when the gates close, the two halves of the crest come together. Is it a crest or a coat of arms? I think, strictly speaking, the crest is actually the design on the escutcheon, isn't it? It's probably the entire coat of arms comes together. You know, the bear rampant on the left-hand side. Can a salmon be rampant? The salmon on the right-hand side. The little motto underneath, which now correctly reads, Amo ut in vino, I love as I find. Anyway, I'm painting probably too thorough a picture of these gates. Because the problem now lies not with the gates, but with the pillars that support the gates. First of all, there was a minor mishap when one of the bowls rolled off, the top of one of the pillars. But anyway, it turns out that it's actually the pillar support. It's a deeper problem, if you like. It's the foundation of the pillar, the right-hand pillar, I'm told. Anyway, Martin, at great expense, had his local museum come out last week. Anyway, they started to excavate underneath the pillar. It turns out that there's actually a Roman baths underneath where they've been trying to put the gates. Quite a significant find, actually, and there was a couple of brooches in there that that I certainly like the look of, judging from Martin's WhatsApp. But anyway, the point is, this really rather important archaeological find has now been discovered under the pillars. It truly is spectacular. There's a whole system of what the local, you know, the local archaeologist thinks was basically a brothel, basically a sort of Roman, you know, very high end Roman brothel underneath the area where these gates are. It's a very, very important find, and I think Martin's absolutely thrilled. You know, there could be all sorts of stuff in there, you know, because, as I say, it really was very, very high end, this brothel. There's all kinds of trinkets and, you know, bits and pieces, a few rather saucy murals, actually, mosaic murals. But anyway, it's all very, very exciting. Everyone's, you know, absolutely beside themselves with joy that they found this incredible, incredible find, this treasure trove. But obviously that's going to take a little bit of time. A little bit of time to resolve. So meanwhile, Martin is on site just making sure things are all, you know, nothing goes walking, I'm imagining, from the treasure trove and making sure that everything's, you know, preserved correctly, everything's being done right. Anyway, he's got to be on site there. It's a hard hat job, I'm told. And meanwhile, I'm just here, spinning a couple of plates, keeping those plates in the air, I hope, and the plate I thought I would spin this week was an episode from the Time Ghost archive, which I know these seem to be going down extremely well, and and very glad I am too. Anyway, I think Martin will be back with us, I think, very, very shortly. This project looks like it's now coming to a conclusion. But anyway, he's going to be back next week, I'm told. And in the meantime, here we go with an evergreen episode from the Time Ghost Archive.
Ahoy there!
Hello!
Ahoy there!
Land ahoy!
I'm waving from the deck of the good ship Culture.
Yes, we're here on the bridge.
The poop deck of the good ship Culture.
Also called Time Ghost.
Time Ghost. The good ship Time Ghost. I'm the captain and you're my assistant, Captain.
That's right, we're persisting with these metaphors.
That's right, yes.
They're getting quite tiresome for you now, but you'll find if you stick with it, as we hope you will. Eventually, you'll come to have something approaching a mild affection for them again.
That's right.
You'll never find them as funny as you may have done the first time,
or perhaps as we do. But I have at my feet a coil of cultural rope, ready for me to cast onto the. I've already run dry. I haven't thought this one through. Casting it onto the dock.
Well, cast ahead.
All right, I'll cast it, but I don't know what we'd call the
look who's on the quayside there.
Why, who?
Guy Ritchie and Madonna.
Oh, well, let's chuck the rope to them, see if they'll catch it.
Oh, no.
Actually, of catch
they're just, it. They're just standing back to back with their arms folded. The rope's landed on the quayside there and just slipped into the water. What's the matter with them? Guy, Madonna, what's up?
Well, maybe their hands are otherwise engaged. Maybe they're too busy slapping each other.
They seem to be in a filthy bait with one another.
They do. Guy seems to be wanting to take quite a lot of money out of Madonna's pockets. That's not true, actually. He's been very honourable so far.
So far? Well, they haven't got divorced yet, have they?
Well, that's true. Yes, it's interesting, isn't it, when people... When people say, no, it's going to be very amicable, the split. Oh, no, very amicable. We can sit down and talk like grown-ups, and then one of them hires Fiona Shackleton.
Yes, and also the point being that I think it was Madonna's side who announced that Guy very, very generously decided he didn't want a penny. I thought that was quite funny. Yeah. And Guy is such a dude. He doesn't want a penny of my money. And Guy sort of, a few days later, said,
Why does he talk? Yeah,
talking about you.
That's right. You put on.
I've suddenly got old adenoidal, like you do.
Do I sound adenoidal?
Not at all. No, but
I was having a good day till you said that.
No.
Next, you'll be telling me I look like Wayne Rooney.
Oh, you do. That's what I was saying this morning. I'm not saying you look exactly like Wayne
Rooney. I don't
think
there's any wise in that could be anything other than a slight.
Well, no.
I take it ill.
No, Wayne Rooney is a supremely unattractive man. You are, you know, without doubt, an extremely... Well, I don't want to say attractive. It sounds like I'm coming on to you in some horrific kind of way. But, you know, you're a fine figure of a gentleman. However, at certain angles, particularly... On one of the pages of The Times today, there's a photograph of Wayne Rooney that can't help but look like the sort of
like
Turin Shroud version of your own profile.
Of Martin Baine-Jones. Interesting. Well, that is interesting. Anyway, there was Mr. and Mrs. Ritchie.
You got no comeback to that? You're just
going
to gloss over
that? Well, I'm just going to leave it. I'm hoping if I don't draw too much attention to it, it'll just slide.
Is there no one else you get... No,
I've been. I have. I'm often told I look a little like Hunter S. Thompson, which is interesting.
Quentin Tarantino. No one's ever said that.
Tarantino. I don't. There are people who do, but no. I like to think.
In my younger days, I used to get Daniel Day-Lewis. Actually, now I get Rob Brydon.
I get Rob Brydon.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Very interesting. Well, no, I'd like to think, you know, we Baine-Joneses, I'd like to think I look a bit like someone between Eric Morecambe and Philip Larkin. That's what I'd like to think I'd look like. Anyway, we were talking about throwing the rope to Guy and Madonna to see if they'd catch it. And talking of cat shit, last time we were here, you were given a little kitten to replace the late... Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, how Martin, tactless. I have to say, the most dreadful week with that poor little thing.
That poor little scrap of life.
Yeah, well, as you know, when we were here, he collapsed in the studio.
Yes.
In my hands. I took him home limp. And I tried to resuscitate him. I had to take him to the vet that afternoon. He had to have his lungs drained. It turned out he's got some sort of peripatetic heart failure. He's got like a heart defect.
Peripatetic heart?
He's got a peripatetic heart.
Which means what, like a...
I don't know. I mean, it comes and goes.
Oh, I suppose that must be it, yes.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's right, yes. Anyway, it works peripatetically. Very good. So it's sort of in different areas.
Maybe. I don't really understand. I mean, to be honest, Martin, I was so drained with the emotion of it all.
Yes, you didn't want to question that.
It was like I was underwater, all these voices. All I could see was that little cat's heart.
That's me again.
The walls were closing in.
Oh, dear.
So I took the atomic kitten home.
Oh, you... what?
Atomic kitten, that's what...
Well, you can't call it that. I mean, you've hobbled it.
No, it's clever, Martin. A Tommy kitten.
A Tommy cat. I know, but it sounds like, it's got... I mean, as it is...
It's a little Tommy cat. It's a little Tommy cat. A Tommy kitten.
Craig, it's not... I'm sorry, I had to teach my grandmother to spew eggs, but it's not going to be a kitten for long. And also, it's going to have to drag something not unlike Sellafield behind it to keep the poor little blighter...
It may not be going to be...
This side of death.
It may not going to be a kitten for long, but it's not going to be anything other than a kitten, I don't think. Unfortunately, in the state that it's in.
So your view is it's not with us for long, so I could just have a bit of fun with its name.
No, Martin, I'm providing, as usual, a backbone of emotional support that otherwise this desperate little cat wouldn't receive. Anyway, I got it home.
That cat was the picture of little furry bald health until it was brought into this studio. It was put in your hands.
Absolutely not. It was a ticking health bomb, that cat. And let me tell you, that bomb's exploded all over its...
A health bomb?
Its metabolism.
Ah.
Yeah. Anyway, so it had its lungs strained, and I took it home. It's in a stable but critical condition. So we'll just have to wait and see what the days and hours, minutes sometimes. That's all I can think ahead sometimes,
right,
what they'll
goodness.
Bring.
Well,
seconds.
Sometimes
just seconds. Sometimes split seconds.
Right. Well, I wish a Tommy kitten all the very best. I hope it pulls through.
Oh well, I'll keep you updated. I tell you what, though.
Yes.
He's a depressive, that cat.
Really?
He's an absolute manic depressive. Yeah, he's just so down.
Really? Not a fighter.
Not a fighter at all. No.
Oh dear.
No, it's just like he's just permanently waving some white surgical flag. It's just awful. Yeah, it's just awful. He just hasn't got the spirit.
Yes.
I don't think he's got the spirit.
The spirit.
To cope
spirit
with his...
Google.
His... Yes. Don't, please. Please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, a Tommy kitten. That brings us on to the other sad story of recent times is, the downward spiral of Kerry Katona.
Was there ever an upward...
Well, no, but there was at least some sort of current that buoyed her up, despite her best efforts.
Yeah, like in a weir.
Exactly. Yes. Do you know what? I would now would be a good time for a headline writer to maybe use Kerry Katona hot tin roof. That's a line I've been longing to put on something.
What's happened to her now then?
She's just. Well, she's been gurning and mumbling on telly.
Has she? Where?
She was on Breakfast Television a couple of weeks ago. She gave every appearance of being off her tits.
On Breakfast Television?
Yeah, she was grinding her teeth and I think she called, at one point she called Fern Britton FERP.
FERP.
And, I think... and there were calls coming into the studio, and I think Philip Schofield at one stage leant over and said, "Are you all right, little my pet? Are you all right?"
Really, in a caring way.
Are you all right? And you know, I think she got a bit cross and said, "Are you implying I'm an alcoholic?"
Which she I don't think on the programme.
I believe so. Well,
that's an odd conclusion to leap to if you're not
if you're not an alcoholic,
isn't it?
It is quite, isn't it? Yes. It's a strange one. I don't know. Well, we'll have to look it up. And this is alleged. This is only from things I gleaned from tabloid newspapers. But no, I should go and look at it on YouTube.
Well, perhaps she'll, you know, perhaps she'll have some sort of terrible heart arrest, and they can say Kerry catatonic.
Oh, that's yes. Well, that would that. I'm
she's overdoing
that.
It. You know, her liver might give out.
Yes, Kerry catatonic.
Kerry catatonic.
Yes. Interesting.
It's a cautionary tale of fame, Martin, and
that's
success.
Right. Well, it is. It is. One has to keep fame and success on a tight leash.
It's just like in Extras. Remember Extras? I learned a lot about it from Extras.
The excellent Ricky Gervais.
The corroding effect of success and fame makes you forget your friends.
That's
you
right.
Know, forget the principles that you.
Well, yes.
You held so true.
Yes.
Speaking of which, I saw a shocking piece of graffiti on the London Underground.
Tell me now.
Well, you know this new film Ricky Gervais is in?
Yes, I do know it.
He plays a character called Dr. Pincus, I think.
That's right, with Greg Kinnear.
With Greg Kinnear. Yeah.
What's it called? I can't remember what the film's called.
Ghost something?
Ghost Town.
Ghost Town.
Is it? Right.
That'll do. Ghost Town. Ghost Town, starring Ricky Gervais.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I don't know if you remember the poster for this.
I think I do. It's him. He's sitting on a bench, I believe.
Rather morose, looking a bit morose,
and his head in his hands.
And at the other end of the bench is Greg Kinnear, with sort of one foot up on the bench.
Who's a bit ghostly. He's a bit, you
a bit
can
ghostly.
See
you can
through
see through him.
Him.
And Greg Kinnear's looking at Ricky slightly quizzically.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a beautiful poster. It's a beautiful bit of artwork. But when I saw it, it had been defaced.
Oh, that's shaming.
Yeah, I thought it was awful. Greg Kinnear was saying, "Ricky, why are you doing these shit American comedies?" And there was a speech bubble from Ricky saying, "Don't ask." Which I...
That's very witty. What is that, on the station or on a train?
That was on the station.
Where?
Well, I think it was Tottenham Court Road, I think.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. I like a good bit of graffitum.
Yes.
Graffito.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, this brings us to Banksy, who
of course,
famously...
Westminster Council, yes, now... a couple of weeks ago, suddenly said they were going to get rid of... I mean, there have been some very famous Banksys, of course. Some of them still extant.
You're thinking of One Nation Under CCTV?
There's that one on Newman Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, just north of Oxford Street. There was one, though, a very good one, of a couple of bobbies, Metropolitan Police bobbies, snogging, that was on Broadwick Street. It was quite provocative. That was on Broadwick Street. And that one was only up for about 2 weeks before they came in. Probably, I think the police probably took it ill. They don't like to be portrayed as snoggers on the job.
No, well, they've got to present a professional face to the public. I mean, they might do that once they get back to the station.
Oh, I hope they do.
Yeah, but when they're out on the streets, there's
we'll have
no
none
petting.
Of that. Absolutely no heavy,
no breast
heavy
work,
petting. No.
No, nothing. They play a very straight game on the streets. And when they get back behind the closed doors of a police station,
free swim.
All bets are off. Free swim.
Do what you like, lads.
Do what you like.
Truncheons down or up.
But keep it clean when you're on the streets. When you're
That's
on
right.
the streets, I want you to see you're keeping your hands in your pockets. I don't want you to see you going...
Or behind your back. Sometimes they do that.
That behind your back is also fine.
And just walk to abreast.
But I don't want you to see you unbuttoning his tunic and running your hand up and down the inside of his regulation trouser pants. I don't want to see any of that. I just keep it clean on the streets. That's what the police do. Because how can they possibly enforce the law... If they're at it in the
that's right. They're nibbling each other's ears. They can't, you know, you can't pull over a motorist while you're doing that.
No, you can't.
You can't give someone directions somewhere while you're doing that.
You can't be Frenching a WPC while you write someone a parking ticket. The public wouldn't take it.
They'd take it ill.
They'd take it.
They
Ill.
Would take it ill, Craig.
By all means, guys, you know, you crawl all over each other once you get back to the station. Inside the walls of the station.
That's your domain.
That's your domain.
That's right, yes. You can do anything you like there.
But outside, on the streets, keep it clean, people.
That's right. Very good. Anyway, that one was painted over in no time at all. That little Banksy.
But Banksy, presumably, is absolutely delighted about this. I mean, it would be awful if you were a sort of art terrorist like Banksy and you were painting these provocative murals on the side of buildings and people and the council came along and said, oh, I quite like that. That's pretty good. Nice work, Banksy. Banksy would be so frustrated because he's kicking against the system. He wants the system to kick back.
Yes, and the system is kicking back.
A bit like the...
I suppose the value of his paintings will be preserved.
Inflated, no doubt,
absolutely.
By the destruction
of the... There was I thinking otherwise, but no, you're absolutely right. Yes, the last thing he wants is respectability.
However, it's a very peculiar thing. I mean, it's just graffiti on the side of a building. However, there is a part of me that feels a twinge of regret that it's going to be removed.
Public art, though. That's what we're talking about. Where's the line drawn? I mean, I think one sees an awful lot of civic installations that are sort of put up for the common good.
Sometimes you're thinking of the plinth in Trafalgar Square.
Well, I'm thinking of the plinth, for example, in Trafalgar Square. Very good example. I mean, I would say even some of the sort of commemorative art, such as the statuary that one sees around and about. Some of these are undoubtedly very artistic and beautiful. Others, less so. I think, for example, of the...
The plinth in Trafalgar Square.
Well, yes, that one. I'm thinking also of the massive bronze statue that some artist made of Freddie Mercury. I think it was about 9 feet tall. And the idea was they made this statue of Freddie Mercury and they wished it to be put up outside in the street in Kensington, where he used to live. And then the Kensington and Chelsea Council took one look at the statue, the proposed statue, and I think between bursts of laughter, for I have seen the statue and I imagine you have too, they said, no way is that going up in our street.
I think, from memory,
it's
Freddie in his sort of prime. Well, from the short hair phase, not the long hair Bohemian Rhapsody phase.
That's right.
The Radio Gaga phase.
It's,
with a little jacket showing his bare chest,
this
presumably. A little bit.
And a hand up. It's now outside We Will Rock You. It's there. They have it on the... They must have had to strengthen the canopy outside the Dominion Theatre there, but there it is. This, and you can go and look at it. It not only looks remarkably unlike Freddie Mercury, it actually looks remarkably unlike normal human posture. It's a truly a despicable work of art.
But quite an accurate portrayal of what you'll see if you go inside We Will Rock You.
Quite possibly,
yes. You'll see some very strange postures and you'll see a man who looks really quite unlike Freddie Mercury.
That's possibly true.
That was my experience of the evening, anyway.
I didn't go.
No?
No. Did you really go to We Will Rock You?
Dunk, dunk.
No, I know the song.
Dunk, dunk.
Did you really go?
Yes, of course I did.
Did you really, really, really go and see We Will Rock You?
Yes, of course I did. Yeah.
Ages ago.
I didn't go.
No, you didn't go. I was going to say, you've never been to the theatre in your life. Me neither.
Does everyone look a bit like someone else, or are there some people who are uniquely themselves?
I think everyone looks a bit like someone else, don't they? That's very interesting. I mean, you know, a lot of there are particular types. Interestingly, I was reading the other day that there's in South America there's a clown convention. The Times carried rather an intriguing picture of all the clowns, obviously sitting for a group photograph, and the photographer had got in under there and taken a foot. All you could see was their feet and their clown shoes. It was. I think it reminded me why I find clowns so sinister. But they all had very, very slender ankles. I found myself thinking, well, you know, a lot of people who subscribe to that sort of Lecoq, mummery, mime, clowning, to me, they all have a little bit in common. They always look a little bit similar. They're a type. It's the type of person who... do you think that's right?
Yeah, I do think that's right. Yeah, they're usually slightly tiresome, I find.
Yes, but
that's what they have in
particular,
common.
They have characteristics, though. They have physical characteristics. They're all very slim and...
Yes, sort of quite hairy.
Slim, quite hairy and...
Very thin ankles.
Very thin of ankle.
Yeah, and usually have very, very baggy jeans.
That's right. You see, I think if they were a little bit more corpulent...
Oh,
I think I would Of course, you wouldn't have heard anything there, listeners, but the lights in the studio just went on and off.
You reminded me of an anecdote concerning a clown I met from... A clown I met from the Lecoq school.
Tell me. Well, it's in Paris, of course, the Lecoq.
It is, yeah.
Jack Lecoq.
Jack Lecoq, yeah. He has a... No, we're not making it up. He has a Gollier, Philippe Gollier, I think, was either his disciple or his mentor. But anyway, there was Jack Lecoq and Philippe Gollier. And you could go and study with them in Paris. Famously, Sacha Baron Cohen did this.
Did he now?
Yes, and attributes much of his success to the foundation stones laid
by
Philippe Gollier.
Brilliant.
A friend of mine that I knew at university had disappeared for several years, popped back into London, bumped into him in the street. We went for a coffee. I said, what have you been up to? He said, I've been studying under Philippe Gollier in Paris. He said, guess who else has been studying in Paris?
Can
under
I guess?
Philippe Gollier.
But will
go
I guess?
On, you can try, yeah.
Danny DeVito.
No.
Okay, on you go then. It wasn't him.
It was Vanessa Redgrave's daughter.
All right.
I think she's called Gemma Redgrave.
That's right, yes.
Anyway, he said to me, yeah, well, you know, I was studying in Paris. So was Gemma Redgrave. He said I got to know her quite well. We were in classes together. This is absolutely true, this story, by the way.
So far, so I won't challenge that.
Well, we were in classes together. He said she you know, we struck up a bit of a, you know, had a bit of a thing going. I really fell head over heels with the girl. She with me. Anyway, she ended up leaving the course quite abruptly.
Yeah.
She moved back to London. He said, so I quit the course too. Came back to London to find her, sort of tracked her down.
That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah. Tracked her down. He said, and I asked her. I kept bumping into her in the street whenever she came out of her house. And, he said, I asked her on some dates, but she was always pretty busy. He said, so I started calling her. She ended up going ex-directory, so ended up getting very hard to get hold of her. She said, so I wrote her some letters. He said, nothing funny, you know, nothing weird, just saying, you know, I'd like to see her again. Anyway, they started getting returned to me, saying no longer at this address. It turned out she'd moved from that flat to another part of London. Without telling me. She said, so I managed to track her down through some other friends, and she said, I got a court notice served on me saying I'm not allowed to go within 2 miles of her house. And he said, and I thought, I'm going to leave it there, you know, I'm not going to make a fool of myself. I suddenly realised he was quite mad.
That's quite distressing.
It's really,
you see, that
really
for me has mime written all over it. That's precisely the sort of person who goes to mime school.
Barack Obama, by the way, looks like he might have been to the Lecoq School in Paris. He's got the right physique.
Yes, he has, hasn't he? He's got just the right physique.
That's exactly the right look.
Oh, maybe he did. Maybe that's where he learnt his. Maybe that was the foundation upon which he. I've never seen him and Gemma in the same 2 mile radius.
No.
He's not your friend, is he?
It's not him. Good. Because that would have been a good end to my
that
story.
Would have been,
and
yes.
indeed
and
the podcast.
That was a little man.
And that was a little man. And that friend was a little
man
called
Barack Obama.
Barack.
Obama.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's who that was. But sadly, that's not the case. I can't remember his name.
I think it's probably best that way, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe he'll listen to this podcast and come and track you down.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be nice, yes. Yeah.
He's probably honed his techniques over the intervening years.
I wonder if you're good at mime, let me just work this out, does that mean that you're silent like a cat burglar? Only the glug of the paraffin through your letterbox would give him away. And then he tiptoes away, miming, pratfalling.
Yeah.
And conveying sadness. Ooh, dear.
Yeah, or happiness. Happy face.
Well, happiness then as he dances in the light of the flames. Yes. Well, maybe he doesn't listen to this podcast and you're safe. Well, it's time for us to pack away our ropes and get ourselves ship-shape and Bristol fashion.
That's right, for our journey out onto the high seas of culture.
That's right. We're off, we're off, we're off. Who knows what spices and exotic animals we might return with?
Who knows what tiresome metaphors we may persist with?
That's right. Well, tune in next time to discover on Time Ghost.
That's quite good.
That was brilliant.
Time Ghost was written and created by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. This episode was originally released by The Times in 2008, and it was produced by John Davenport and edited by Ed Ryland. Time Ghost is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.